episode 444. Host Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me are the people you're really here to see, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Mark, 444. That's a lot of episodes, man.
You know, we passed it some... Oh, sorry. Door, say your hello.
Four in the house.
Oh, yeah. Four.
I'm not sure where we passed it, but somewhere very recently, we hit my one-year anniversary.
That was...
I started in August of 2015, and I think show 400 was either my second or
that
third
was,
show.
That was fast. So, doesn't seem like it. Time flies.
Yeah. So I only say that to say that okay. I'm quitting. I won't be back anymore. It's been nice knowing.
2 years enough. That's about all I get people to hang out with me for anyway, before they turn and run.
That's about how long it takes for people to realize, you know, this guy's kind of a jerk.
Yeah. That's terrible.
I'm used to it.
My wife, on the other hand, you know, she was dumb enough to get married to me.
Oh, so you're she's kind talking. Of a jerk. Oh.
Yeah. I was talking about me. I mean, we could. Wow. Never mind. Sometimes if there's like a dance competition, it's a dance off. I started to say we could have a jerk competition
and
realize where that was going to go. So I stopped myself right there. So, hey, guys, any cool Android-related stuff this week?
The only thing I have was Bill Miller in the Podnuts Android App Addict community, I think it was. He posted a thing saying, sarcastically funny, I would like to see Door look at this thing. And it was a Mizu. And if anyone remembers the name Mizu, their overseas company, they created or they released the Ubuntu phone, which came out to startlingly meh reviews. People didn't really go kind of cuckoo on it. And he posted two links. One was to the Mizu M6. But another one was to a Mizu page where it was talking about a customized Android to run on their devices. And from my Moto X days, I know customized Android towards hardware can run surprisingly well. So I'm going to take a look at all their devices and see how many of them can work in the US and maybe getting a budget phone just to see how that OS works here in the States. Yeah. It's called Flyme, F-L-Y-M-E. That's what it's called. Sure, yeah. Flyme 5 is the OS, and there is an English version somehow on the page, and if I figure it out, I'll shoot you guys a link.
So I was reading some clickbait article this week, and I say I call it clickbait because it's one of those where there's absolutely no useful information. And it was targeted to people of my phone, the Moto X Pure. And it was, like how to get the best battery life out of your Moto X Pure, because we all know it's not the best. So there was 8 tips and they were all basically one tip, but it was said 8 different ways. Don't use your phone. So
lowering
your
screen brightness is always one of the cheap ones.
Right. Yeah. It was turn off the radio. Okay. Yeah. Turn off Wi-Fi. Put it in airplane mode. Turn down the brightness. So essentially, the only tip that I ever read in any website ever about how to get better battery life is don't use your phone. Very frustrating. And that doesn't have anything to do with what you were just talking about. It just reminded me of that. And so there you go. I need better tech journalism in my life.
Good luck with that. Maybe time travel portal to another dimension, maybe.
Right.
Because it's not happening here. Everything in this era and moving forward is clickbait driven. There's no integrity is what I don't mind saying out loud.
You know, I'll give you the click. Just give me something when I get there. I don't know why that's a difficult concept.
You just have to write it yourself, man. Yeah.
But then I already know everything that I'm reading. So that doesn't.
Did you say that was the Mizu MX6 coming? Is that the one?
That was one of them that he did post in the AAA group. Yes,
I like the their slogan is "Lead by Example." It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean they're definitely. I look at these guys like I looked at Vizio 7-8 years ago, where you know you get it when you really can't afford you know the Note 7, but you really want a phone, and then in like maybe a year or two, these people might turn out to be reputable hardware manufacturers.
You don't usually see phone manufacturers touting contrast ratios. That's just not a thing that most phone manufacturers talk about. And so right there on the front of their MX6 is, you know, 1500 to one typical contrast. Is that, hey, we're different, or hey, we've got nothing else to talk about?
I think that's something I would talk about. A 3060 mega amp hour battery.
It says 9 hour battery life. Yeah. 9 hours is just not enough.
Digital, or no, sorry, 5.5 inch diagonal, 1080p. No, ooh, if it, 1080 by 1920 pixels, 403 PPI. Oh, okay.
Yeah, 1080p. If it's 9 hours of screen on time doing stuff, that might be acceptable.
Well, that's true.
Might be, yes. And that's key word in that sentence, might be. There's no, I don't want to say definite, absolute yes, no answer.
And I'm not really sure what they're going for in this this last picture on the page. It's, you know, a smallish sort of androgynous creature. I'm pretty sure it's a woman with this giant freaking phone strapped to her arm. It looks like she's a cyborg. I'm not really sure what they're going for there. Hey, look how giant our phones are. Hey, look how dorky you look if you go out jogging in one of our phones. I'm not sure what the message is. But look, it's the size of her humerus. Like from shoulder to elbow is this phone, pretty much.
Yeah.
Am I the only one seeing
that? Do you have a link?
Just me.
Oh,
I put it in the chat room. I thought, you know.
What is this thing called a chat?
Maybe somebody would be paying attention to that.
Oh, a chat. Oh, ooh, that's very flashy. I like the way it loads there.
So that's where, you know, I was just Googling the Meizu MX6, and that's where it talks about the 1500 to 1 contrast ratio.
Yeah, that's a big looking phone on her arm. You're right. It's a very small arm. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on. That doesn't not look like a 5.5 inch screen phone on her arm.
It's a weird picture, and I'm not really sure what the message is they're trying to convey.
That it's robust and elegant.
That picture doesn't say elegant. It does say robust. Freaking tank is what it says.
Maybe she's afraid someone's going to shoot her in her arm.
It's a bulletproof vest. Yeah.
Careful selection of materials and use of graphite heat sinks. You don't hear that from Samsung.
Yeah, see, that just makes me think they are not paying attention. They got nothing else to talk about. So they talk about contrast ratios and heat sinks. But since when does anybody care about the heat sink in their phone?
Maybe their last phone melted on them. Don't want that to happen again.
Well, I mean, I'll just say it isn't sold in our market. So maybe in another market.
That's a good point.
It is an issue, but I can't really. I'm just saying that because I don't know.
No, Mark.
Is this the post door where somebody tagged me and said that I should review this? Yeah. Is this the
Mark
phone?
Lives
the phone?
In Atlanta. Yeah, that's where you would need the heat sink, if anywhere.
Yeah. My thought was, I'll be happy to review this as soon as somebody sends me one. I'm not just rolling in the dough to go to buy new stuff. Anyway, that just made me laugh. I'd love to review it. Send me one, and I will. Wouldn't that be a great life? I mean, honestly, just people send you stuff and you talk about
it. Yeah, but the way we talk about stuff, cool. That would be a short-lived life, I think.
I mean, if you could be honest about it, that's what I'm saying. That would be cool. Not the way Walt Mossberg does it, but the way real people do. Maybe even do dramatic reviews.
Maybe even what?
Yeah. And the OS website is flymeos.com. That's what I'm going to say because I don't know any better.
Fly me to the moon.
And if you go to their page at flymeos.com, they say right there, front and center, customized based on Android 5.1. And I'm almost okay now with not running the latest or greatest or the one behind the latest and greatest or even two behind the latest and greatest.
The new one that you're in this phone that we're talking about is Flyme running on 6.0, though.
Okay. But yeah, you can download it right now, but of course it's only going to support their devices, which, you know, you can't really fault them for that.
Looks like you put it on the Nexus 5.
Well, and that kind of doesn't shock me, but I got to say, that alone got me a little bit interested, I'm not going to lie. I mean, because I really like the idea of customized OS for hardware, because I know you get such better performance. It's kind of, it's sometimes kind of crazy.
The issue that comes with that, though, is you're dependent on updates from that one. You know, Apple people can tell you, you know, you get an update that breaks something and there's no place you can go, you know. And the same is true for Google, right? But at least that tends to be filtered through the ROM developers and all that sort of stuff. So if Google lays a turkey, other people can fix it. But I don't know that the same would be true of the Flyme.
In addition to the touchscreen input and the front key, The device has a volume zoom control and a power lock button on the right side and a 3.5 millimeter TRS audio jack. So you can still get your analog.
Well, everything I buy for the next year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, maybe more, it better have an audio jack or I'm not buying it.
You're not getting an Apple one.
Let me think about that for a second. I'll get back with you.
I did want to say very quickly before we go too far that I got to meet one of our audience members.
You didn't
this
ask
week,
him for a
Jim
Mizu MX6.
I didn't know. Jim, who lives near me, sent an email and said, "Hey, I'd like to go to lunch with Mark." And I said, "Hey,
who was that?"
I'll let you. His name is Jim. He lives near me, and so we hung out. I just want to say, "Hey, Jim, it was nice splitting a lunch with you at the world famous O'Charlie's restaurant." I don't know, is that a chain everywhere? I've never heard of it till I came to Atlanta. It's like a Bennigan's. Anyway, had a nice chat. Unfortunately, it was during the week, so I was on the clock. I didn't get to stay and hang out with him, but still, we had a nice long lunch, and you know, just wanted to say that's cool. Anybody else want to, you know, in the area? I love meeting. I don't want to say fan.
Listeners.
That sounds sycophantic. Listeners, friends. Jim is my friend.
That's so odd because I had a person named Jim who's a listener reach out to me and said, "Hey, if you're ever in Chicago, look me up and we'll have lunch." And I said, "Okay, I'll be in Itasca, Illinois on Wednesday." I never heard back from him. To me, that's Chicago. It's a northern suburb of Chicago. I mean, if you live in Chicago, I suppose that's like, you know, away from them.
It isn't technically called Chicago, is it?
Technically, probably never.
And you know, depending on the time of day, it could be a 3-hour road trip.
Itself as much as possible. It was a 2-hour road trip for me to get there. It had to be less for him. Maybe not.
Not in traffic. I drive 18 miles to work, and sometimes it takes me 2 hours to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
Well, you push the foot on the brake a lot and on the gas a little.
Yeah,
that's how you do it. All right, before we go too far, we've buried the lead here. We have a cardboard to give away, and many, many people. So, how do we want to do this, Eric?
We want to do a random number.
Did you take a look at your emails?
I'm looking at them right now.
That I sent you to like 15 minutes before we started. Okay. How many of them was there? Seven, six, seven.
I see 10. 10. I've got 10. No, 8. 9. Sorry. So
I see 7.
There may be some repeats there.
Okay, I see 7. So I would say,
I'm going to go to random.org. And I'm going to pick a number between 1 and 7. And, Eric, you have them listed, right? Okay. So a minimum between 1 and 7.
All of them I sent you, I'll just say, cardboard wasn't in the title of all of them. But the first line in a couple of them said, "I'd like to be entered in cardboard."
Oh, okay. That's fine.
So if you just look at every email I sent you in the last 10 minutes or whatever, that's them.
Okay. Can we redo the random number generator to 9?
Sure. 9. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yep.
You ready? Drum roll, please. And the random number is 6. 6 from the top Scott. Is.
And let me see if we have Scott's information. I do not believe so. So I'm going to send this a email to Scott. Scott just replied to this address with your address, and we'll get it out to you. Eric's much better at this than me.
Yeah, you won't have to wait nearly as long.
Didn't have to rub it in.
Sorry. Yes.
You want to say Scott's last name so that he knows which
Scott
it is?
He's getting an email from us saying, "Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Okay, fair.
Please
fair enough.
Send us your address because I do everything right now or I never do it."
Yeah, and I don't have Scott's last name. It looks like he might work for Coopersoft, though. Or that's his last name. One of the two.
Message sent.
Congratulations, Scott. You get the best of my 3 pieces of cardboard. Actually, the worst piece of cardboard is going in my rummage sale. I won't even give it to a listener because it's that bad.
Wow. So, Julian, Louie, Pete, Damien, Ken, Aaron, Mitch, if I got them all. Thanks, but try again next time.
And you know what? There's something about the name Scott, and this isn't the same Scott, but Scott's been on
Scott
our show a lot.
Abramchek. Yeah. He won the Nexus 5, maybe? Yeah.
So when I was in college, quick aside, one of my part-time jobs was for the attorney of the university, and he had a project going to see if people were gaming radio stations at the college radio contest at the college radio station. So one of my jobs was to go to the archives and pull out every check that the radio station had written over 5 years, and collate anybody who had more than two in that amount of time. And, you know, today, 2016, that would be a single search of a query somewhere. But no, I had to go into the archives, pull out boxes and boxes and boxes of canceled check and lay them all out. And I have a bit of a photographic memory. And for years after that, I could meet somebody for the first time and know their name and social security number and address because I read it on a check.
Wow.
Yeah, party tricks that don't actually help. But anyway, that was just Scott's. That made me think of that. So you may be hearing from our attorneys if you're the same Scott. Probably not, though.
Yeah, and yours might freak people out mildly, too.
So why don't we start with an app? We've gone all this time. We are now 20-plus minutes into the show without an app. Eric, fix that for us.
We gave away a Google Cardboard, and I'm going to give away an app to play with. Actually, Door gave me this app earlier today, so I installed it, and I checked it out on a VR headset. Not exactly a Cardboard, but I used it on a Google headset, and this is the Ford VR app. Basically, it is a little small documentary telling you about the new Ford GT350, I believe it's called. And the VR thing is great for these YouTube-ish kind of little mini documentaries where they can just take you a little farther, get you a little more involved than a regular YouTube video. And it's fairly new. Of course, Door brings the new stuff. But it's a nice testing thing for your new headset. So check that one out. I like cars too, and Door knows that. Door, I like cars and I like VR, so it's perfect.
Yeah, I figured this was both of Eric's recent drugs here in one nice little package.
Yeah, I don't know why I've been like looking at exotic cars on YouTube, where people are walking through museums and things. Well, actually, since we're talking about that, I'll spring the other app too, the other VR app that he mentioned, which is exactly that, and it is called Autoblog VR. And very similar, it takes you in a 360 virtual reality museum, auto museum, kind of tells you what you're looking at. Like one of the rooms was like all these cars. There was a Corvette, some Lamborghini, or a Ferrari, some older cars like a Duesenberg. But all the cars in one of the rooms of this museum were silver for whatever reason. And the bad thing about the Autoblog VR, and some of the, you know, the VR's new, this had what they call drift. So even if you're holding your head perfectly still, your screen, your vision is like drifting down to the right and lower at the same time, even though you're trying to hold still. And it's just something that VR app developers work through. And if they spend enough time fixing that, they can get that nailed down so that does not happen. But then ones who don't work as hard at it, you will notice it.
So what causes the drift? Is it a technical limitation of the VR?
I think it's a lack of fine tuning of the app.
I'm going to guess it's hardware and, dare I say, something like magnetic signals around you moving. I don't want to say the Earth's rotation because that's always in the same perspective as you. But my guess is there's literally stuff like RF and Wi-Fi stuff is slightly tweaking your magnetometer, and they need to like average that out over time instead of being so reactive to it or something.
Yeah, and you'll see some apps in the reviews and complaints and stuff where they'll complain of drift, and other people will say, oh yeah, that's this one drifts too much or whatever. And there's ways to limit that on their end.
So again, I've never tried this. I should have entered the contest. Head tracking is a given in this, or mm-hmm. position tracking, right? So they all use it. I got it. So it's an imprecision in head tracking. Okay. Which could just easily be the difference between their developmental hardware and your, you know, field
hardware. Or everyone's hardware is slightly different to a degree. And, you know, some people with certain devices, you might not see drift really much at all. And then 30% of the devices out there, you might see drift on everything unless they take into consideration.
Yeah, if you have a more sensitive sensor in your high-end phone compared to a lesser sensor that doesn't, you know, feel at all, that's one of the disadvantages of the headsets where you mount a phone in it, because there is that variable that they could be different, where if you get like the Samsung Gear VR or the Oculus Rift, the hardware is always the same. so you don't have to worry about, you know, you don't have to worry about programming to everything that's out there, or dumbing it down so that things like that don't happen.
Yeah, really quick, guys, just an unbelievably quick short tangent. I don't know what the hell happened, but I was looking in my YouTube app. It's a separate YouTube app called Studio, and my videos, and for some reason it said Android App Addicts 443 had something like 500 views. And I don't know why.
Cool.
So it got like 1/10 of our normal views? Is that what you're saying?
No, it got like 10 times more than our normal views.
It was the dramatic review. Yeah. That had to be what did it.
It was that great game that brought the
movies.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was I found it. I'm going to look for it again. I'm going to shoot you guys a link to it.
Do I need to tweet a developer every episode? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. But I'll say, to me, this is the kind of use case that could be really cool. But it's more like this. You go into a car dealership and they say, oh, the Ford GT. We don't have one here because they're X amount of dollars. But here, come over here. Sit in this chair and put this on. And then you can experience the inside of the Ford GT. You can see what it's like going, you know, 110 miles an hour in a closed track and see, you know, that kind of thing. I could see businesses really taking advantage of.
Or it would be a real boon for real estate agents as well.
Yeah, if you could combine drone videography so you could see the outside of the house and VR for the inside of the house, you don't need to go to the house. Other than you can't turn the water on, I guess, and smell.
I'll tell you now. Smell is a big thing about buying a house. Every agent I know tells people, we're going to have a showing, bake a couple cookies.
Oh,
or cook bacon or, you know, something.
That's a good idea.
Because I know
bacon will turn off the vegans, though.
True.
Yeah, you don't want to sell your house to a vegan anyway.
I know when I walk into a house and I smell cookies, it's definitely more, at least, appealing, I'll say. Because, you know, it's cookies.
Yeah.
All right, Dor, what is your first app of the evening?
Okay, the first app I'm going to bring here, it's partially because I'm a American male. I'm saying that with a little trepidation in my voice because a lot of people in America seem to have general I've heard called woo-woo over guys like Nathan Fillion. And I saw this app and I said, oh man, this actually sounds kind of cool. And looking at the picture, this is kind of cool. And then I figured out it was a cartoon drawing of Nathan Fillion. This is called Con Man the Game by Monkey Strength Productions. Only 120 reviews. Completely free. Does have some in-app purchases. Average review of 4.5. Version is only 1.2.0.12, only between 10 and 50 installs. So this is spanking brand new kind of thing. This is a, basically it's like a strategy game where your job is to arrange and run a Comic-Con convention, Comic-Con
gotcha.
Kind of thing. This is the kind of thing that I just thought was actually kind of cool. Right now, Comic-Con seemed to be all the rage. I hate saying that word, all the rage. It makes me sound like I'm in my 60s.
That's what the kids are into these days, I hear.
Yeah, or something like that. So if you like the idea of Comic-Cons, and you like Nathan Fillion, and you like strategy-type games, I really do encourage you to check this out. Again, completely free to download and play with.
So, Dor, you are unbeknownst to you, buzz marketing a web series, Con Man the series, with Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk. So this is a TV a web TV series. Season one is already out. Season two is in production. And so this app is content from or ancillary to the web comic series.
And I'm the guy who hates that content. Go figure. Yeah. Well, I'll say this. If you release this game to possibly bring in new viewers, then Monkey Strength Productions, I give you a thumbs up and a salute. It worked, because I might actually now watch it, because it is Nathan Fillion, after all, you know.
Man, I hadn't...
And Alan Tudyk.
Who the hell was that?
Alan Tudyk is Wash from Serenity, if the pilot, if you watch that show. Yeah, he was also in first night, not first night, the Heath Ledger, he was Chaucer
rock music.
Oh, right.
Man.
He's done all kinds of cartoon voices. You know, Alan Tudyk, you just don't recognize the name.
And that cartoon drawing. Very good of him.
Yeah. He actually wrote and directed Con Man, the web series, and tapped his buddy, Nathan Fillion, to be a part of it.
Yeah, it was called, it was called a, Knight's Tale. Yeah. That's good movie.
I really like it. Completely anachronistic and silly, but silly in a fun way. Yeah. And some of Heath Ledger's best work.
Yeah. If that guy was still around, I can only imagine the type of money he would be pulling in for any performance that he would do. Talent.
All right. By the way, I didn't know any of that. I just Googled Con Man the game and found all that. Thank you, Web
Wikipedia, say that
for making me sound smarter than I am.
Save their place and stuff like that. So, there's a game to it. It's not just
It's a real game. And I love the idea of, Sim City, right? But for science fiction conventions, it's a great concept. Not something that I would do, but sounds like fun.
I just like watching Nathan Fillion. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not proud to say that. And one of the funniest things I saw was my wife was watching Castle detective series. He's a writer playing the role. And then for Halloween one year, he got dressed up, and he got dressed up in what he called a space cowboy outfit. And it was his exact outfit from Firefly. And his daughter in the show said, "What are you supposed to be dressed up as?" And he said, "A space cowboy." She said, "Well, that's really stupid. There ain't no cows in space." And he was a little upset. You could see in his face, like, "I can't believe you just said that."
I am a fan of Firefly and Serenity. It was a shame that it was never given the due it deserved.
Well,
it could have been a great show.
You do know what's coming out, right?
Well, I've heard that they're going to do some sort of continuation of it.
Nope. Yeah. The Firefly animated series is already in production and is due to be released here very shortly.
Yeah. I mean, it worked pretty well for Star Wars Rebels. That was actually a good bit of animated work.
Yeah, so I have. If they don't have a couple of the voices from the real thing, it's a complete waste of time. But if they have at least a couple, then it's definitely possible. It could be really, really good.
See, I'm the guy you don't want me to like your show, because any show I like gets canceled. Some of my favorite, one of my favorite shows in the 90s was Sports Night.
Oh, yeah.
Written by Aaron Sorkin. Just brilliant writing and perfect acting. It was just amazing. Had William H. Macy and Felicity Huffman and just these huge names. And it went 1 3/4 seasons and got canceled. They did let them finish the season, but it had so much potential for so much more. And I felt the same way about Firefly. You know, so much potential, but they just, nobody else liked it because I did.
Can you do me a favor, Mark?
Can you
maybe start to like The Voice, Survivor, things like that.
The Chew, The Real.
Sadly, The Chew is required viewing around my home for my wife likes it, so I know all about it.
And all you got to do is like it.
Anyway, let's read some emails from Julian. Writes in to say, "Hi, Dor, the executive and esteemed hosts. Got three things for you." So he's starting off right. "Starting with a recommendation. My son didn't really get the point of customizing his phone until I found ThemeCraft Free, as it lends the display a complete Minecraft look, including 8-bit icons, clock widget, and heart/armor battery/ram/storage widgets. Now he's really proud of how his phone looks and shows it off to his friend. Dor and Mark were talking about profiles in BlackBerry back in the day. I remember that my old Nokia had something similar years back. Now I'm using CyanogenMod on most of my phone, and this offers multiple profile option with all the functionality you were talking about, except perhaps the possibility of changing wallpaper. These profiles can be activated by NFC tags or manually. As for blue light filters, I'm with Dor on this one. The warmer hues for blue and white at night are so much better on the eyes than hard, cold blues and whites. Luckily, both CyanogenMod, as Dor mentioned, and Nova Launcher, free and prime, offer features for blue light filtering. Lastly, a question for the executive. What cardboard app has really stood the test of time for him? I want to find the game that my son will appreciate for longer than 15 minutes.
I would have to say, I don't do a whole lot of it. I mean, I'm not a gamer, as I'll say again. I would say anything with a roller coaster is always going to go back to.
No.
What?
No.
I don't have one then. Because there's nothing. Okay, so I just reset my phone. Honestly, I'll get back to Julian's thing here. So I reset my phone. Okay, I reset my phone. I did not put any new VR apps or old VR apps back on it that I need to go back to. Okay, that's answered then. I will keep my eyes open, though, and try to remember which ones I like. I don't have nothing for you, though, right now as far as one with legs. So I installed Arrow Launcher. Just, oh, God. They had a big update, you know.
Oh, I'm sure they did. It's called bloatware or spyware.
So I installed it to give it a try because, you know, this is a job and I have to take one for the team every now and then. I loved it so much, I reset my entire phone to factory settings to get it all the way out, to make sure there was no way. And plus, you know, it's a 32 gig phone. I have like 28 usable gigs, and I had used almost 25 of those. So I didn't have a whole lot of room left on my phone. So it was just time. And I had, honestly, the 5X has been such a trooper. That was the first time I've reset it since I got it. So. And it's nice. And you got to love Google because how fast you can get back to where you were with their backup and restore options is just amazing. And even though I picked one by one to install them back in, I still, you know, my necessary apps on this phone are still at 80 some apps that I chose to put back on there that I couldn't feel that I could live without. So, I don't know. Anyway, no, I don't have one yet. And I'm going to keep checking out all these VR apps and try to find one that I really, really like, but it really takes you away from everything. There's no multitasking when you're in VR. It's that. And that's not me usually. I'm usually doing a couple things at least at once. And so it's hard for me to just devote everything to one thing like that.
Okay. What Eric's trying to say is he can't tell you any go-to game on VR because most of them completely suck. Or they're only a minute and a half long.
Well,
I'll just say that to me is the utter truth because I've tried lots of these ones, okay?
Microsoft is coming to... Microsoft. Oh, whoa. Minecraft is coming to VR. I think that is the killer and? App. For It's perfect for VR. Sure. To be in your own world.
Perfect.
To be there and swing that pickaxe. And
sure, yeah, that's what I thought too. I'll say this. Here's the game I will say to at least suggest to try. This was the only one that my son played for more than a day. It's called a hardcore VR game. And I think part of the reason why it was as deep as it was.
Hard Code. Yeah, I remember. Hard Code. This was a cool game, yeah.
The only reason I thought it was as deep as it is, because most VR games are not deep at all. They're literally like one level, that's it. The only reason I thought that this one was able to be as deep as it is, it is because the graphics are so... generic is one of the word I'm going to say. It's very obvious they basically have only a couple textures that they reuse a great many number of times. So it's not like they're creating crazy landscapes with crazy realistic this, crazy realistic that. It is a very cartoony type look, but honestly, it plays pretty good. You have to have either a Bluetooth controller or some kind of controller to really play this right, because your movement is going to be controlled by a joystick on one of those game pads, especially if it's a dual stick. I do promise you, Julian, this game can be kind of fun. And the real reason I'm bringing this game and almost cutting Eric off to bring this game is because you have no idea how happy you're going to make my son when I show him ThemeCraft. Oh, he's going to go crazy.
Does he have his own phone? He's got a tablet.
He has a Oppo R7 Plus. That is his daily driver. And the main reason I made that his daily driver was he does not need 4G LTE because he uses quite enough data without that. And he definitely needed something that had clearly all-day battery life. And even when he pounds the phone, it still, at the end of the day, has like 20% battery.
It's so obvious that these reviews are all left by somebody under the age of 14. Just gonna leave that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of syllables per review, is there?
Oh, I thought I was going to mention again being better than other body parts.
Oh man, useful. If you,
yeah. John Bean says, gone. That's it. That's his whole review.
Going high, gamer 2 second says useful. If you are a Minecraft lover fan, download this. This is very useful for me. I love that. No, you're right, Mark.
All right.
It's cool looking, though.
Minecraft is not for grown-ups. That's all I'm going to say.
No, it isn't. It's for grown-ups who want to play with their children, but it's not for grown-ups.
There you go. And that is a noble activity.
Well, it can absolutely be, or it can be very creepy and land you in federal prison.
Whoa.
I have had more tea parties than I ever imagined I would. So, yeah, I understand.
Well, I'm waiting for Minecraft 64 that I'm in.
Yeah, well, isn't that called Second Life?
Owned by Microsoft, okay? They're terrified to change anything in that application.
They should be, because they break everything.
Exactly, which is why you're never going to see an actual enhancement to it, because they can't. They don't know what the hell they're doing. That's why right now the Xbox is getting pounded
by the
PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 4 is supposed to have another release here before January.
Yeah, everybody's moved to PlayStation 4. You are correct.
Mm-hmm. Can't even.
All right, Eric, what's your next app for us tonight?
Okay, this is a Google app that I can use. You may be able to use, but you may have to, tell a little white fib maybe or something here. Anyway, this is called Google Train Up. This app is made specifically for people who work at stores like Best Buy, and it is a way for sales associates to learn about these products that they're being paid to sell to people. And you can learn how to, there's an introduction to training, so you can learn how to learn. But then Android TV, Google Cast, Android Operating System, Nexus, Google Play, Chromebook, Android Wear, and OnHub. Learn all about every part of these so you actually sound like you know what you're talking about when people come up and ask you questions as a sales associate at whatever store you're working at. I thought it was neat, and I'm in. I'm a producer at the podnuts.com store, so I can begin my curriculum and learn more about this Android TV thing that I have a certain customer who keeps asking me about. So in that class for Android TV, I've got Introduction, Top Features, and Android TV Home. And you can earn points for completing each class. And if you actually send a pay stub from your store to prove you're actually working at a real store, you can earn Google Play credits for completing these trainings also.
Which is, from what, again, reading the reviews, that seems to be the only thing anybody cares about. Link Hyrule, I'm pretty sure that's his real name. Says 3 weeks to verify, during which the end of the promotion for the cast, which is the only reason I did this stupid training anyway. So I tried to redeem for Google Play credit, which continuously failed. Now they ended the Google Play credit, so I have a choice of spending my credits on overpriced Android swag or drawing tickets for Google Cardboard. What a joke! I definitely won't be recommending any of these products to my customers when you screw us over as representatives.
Yes.
What does it have to do with the app? Absolutely nothing.
So I thought, I could probably get some use out of this. I like to be the go-to guy, at least in the family, answer an email or something. So I thought I might run through a couple of them. I haven't done any of them yet, but I just got signed up and everything, so I'm ready now.
I got to say, I personally think this is genius in a attempt, at least, because the one thing that Google doesn't do well is like PR kinds of things. So if they can indoctrinate, but dare I say, people who work as sales reps on floors of any kind of stores into better understanding what Google can offer the customer, and at the same time, they're going to earn credits to watch Deadpool or Super Friends or whatever. That to me is a genius combination. And I can tell you, if I worked at a store, you betcha I'd be all over this. Because those stores don't pay a lot of money, the discounts you can get, but that goes without saying.
So here's the Persian flaw of this plan. Their target demographic is 100% people who already think they know everything. These people who are tech reps at stores, they already think they know everything about technology. And so they had to bribe them. And then when the bribes went away, it turned south on them.
I disagree. I used to be, so I my first job was at Walmart.
What year?
1988, probably. Okay. Sam Walton was alive. There was no Super Walmarts.
Okay.
I was hired
before I think crack cocaine existed.
Yeah, all males were required to wear a tie to work there. I was hired on as Christmas help.
That's sexism.
And they kept me. So as soon as I graduated high school, they promoted me to department manager. So I was department manager of pets. I knew pets. I knew animals. I knew fish, you know, and garden center. So I learned trees and things like that and shrubs. And, you know, I took my beatings. I was told by one of the employees to water a bunch of trees, and they turned out to be fake and had water all over the back of the store. But, you know, anyway. So anyway, a few years go down the road, and then I get promoted to sporting goods. I'm now the department manager of sporting goods, and I'm selling guns and ammo to hunters. I've never hunted, know nothing about any of it yet. I'm now the department. Not only do I work in that department, which I never did, I'm now department manager in charge of ordering all of these things manually. Back then, we didn't have barcode scanners and automated ordering systems and things like they do now. To have something like this back then would have been, I would jumped all over it to get some kind of training.
Yeah, but all of the things you said is not tech. And people who sell things in tech today are self-professed tech experts. That's the reason they went and got the job at the big blue and yellow box store. Yeah, but
some people just get jobs. And maybe they are a tech expert in washing machines. And then one day they're doing so good at doing washing machines, they threw them over in the cell phone department. That stuff happens, though. You get thrown into stuff that you don't know anything about. Because the store is more than tech. You know, even Best Buy has other things. I mean, if you go from the cell phone department, get promoted or sideloaded or whatever over to the washing machines, you're hoping Maytag's got this app, I would think.
Well, the only people I could picture working at these kind of stores who would actively see this and actually be on it are, like, over the age of 40, who had to switch careers, and definitely not the 20-year-old kid who's going to, like, roll his eyes at everybody.
Yeah. The Geek Squad's guys are not, they're probably not on this. They know their tech, supposedly. And, you know, I think even back when I was 20, I would have took them up on this.
That's because you're the executive. You are special.
I only got promoted to executive when you did that. See, I was a manager for a long time, even before Applebee's and OLF.
All right, I think that horse is well and truly beaten to death. Dor, what's your next app?
Okay, the next app I'm going to bring is not an app. So it's going to be a little bit difficult documenting this for the show, I will say that. Let me do a copy and a paste and an enter. Okay, there you go. What this is, okay, I really hope in this day and age, most of the people at least who listen to this show have at least heard of Khan Academy. They're almost a little bit hard to explain. It basically, I believe, it was a young guy aspiring to basically be an educator, took it upon himself to basically create an entire medium, an entire website, where he basically would try to convey knowledge via drawing, video, and speech. And he grew it into a pretty big thing, and then Bill Gates gave him literally something like $10 million and said, keep doing what you're doing. Since then, Khan Academy has just been growing and growing and growing, where if you want to understand, or if you at least want to hear how they explain anything from how a mortgage works to what's basic chemistry to advanced trigonometry kind of thing, you can go on their website for free and watch the videos on it. And they have complete courses towards subjects. Well, they did buy this company called DuckDuckMoose, and they're basically educational games for Android, and they immediately bought the company and immediately made every game that they offer free. Now, right now, they only offer 11 games, but they did say they're going to continue development to make more games, more educational-based games for kids to play. And it's easy to find games to keep kids busy. It's difficult to find activities or games that kids can play that actually help teach them anything productive, beneficial towards their future. So I definitely like this idea. If you have little ones of your own, I cannot encourage you more. Just look up DuckDuckMoose on Google Play, and you'll see their games. And you can go check them out, download them, put them on your kid's tablet, and see how much that they like them. And I want to thank the Rhino for posting this in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community. I did not hear about this, so he definitely helped us out.
Yeah, that's nice of them to do that. That I've never seen DuckDuck Moose games before, but these look pretty good. Just, you know, cruising through them. Look like they're well made. Like, I mean, my kids grew up on a thing called Roger Rabbit. Reader Rabbit.
Reader Rabbit.
And that was crap, but they still played it. Just get them a little Android cheap Amazon tablet and let them play with this thing. It'd be great. I grew up on
reading Rainbow and Star Trek Next Generation.
There's a nice, cool game that where you get to make a car and paint it and drive it around. Better than a lot of the games I play.
I just need one of these for middle school pre-algebra. This is all well and good. My kids are older than that now.
That's the Khan Academy part.
Right.
Yeah, and I will say that their math stuff on that website is actually pretty good. They actually do have some more basic things on there that I even showed my oldest son, and he was able to comprehend them to at least some degree. It isn't like it's all trigonometry and calculus, but they do have trigonometry and calculus.
All right, let me read another email. This one comes from Louie, who says, I love your show, and I've been listening since last year. I'd love to win the cardboard giveaway. Well, you didn't win. Sorry, Louie, but you were entered. Do you guys know of an app I can use as a DJ app that integrates Google Play? Thank you very much. I will soon go to Patreon and support the best show on podcast.
Nice. I looked and looked, Louie. I could not find anything that, you know, really worked that way. I don't know what kind of a DJ setup he's got. I would personally probably just run two phones and do it that way if you have a mixer or something, you know, or all I had for them. I couldn't find an app that did that.
Yeah, if you're just looking to crossfade using Google Play Music, I don't know of anything that can do that.
I don't know if we can see anything to do that because Google has their streams and feeds up to their services pretty locked down. The only way I can see you're going to be able to use Google Play Music is to cache this stuff or download this stuff and then have it in like MP3 format or something else and then use it in a different app.
You could use the family plan. If you couldn't be logged in to Google Play Music on two separate devices at the same time.
No. That's not, trust me. He wants more than that. DJing is about syncing the beats up and transitioning them over and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, DJing wasn't that way when I did it. There is quite a bit more to it now.
So you would need two devices and a mixer, but then if you're streaming data off of both of those devices, the timing would be nearly inhumanly impossible to sync that up because you'd never know the latency that you'd get between any given song.
What these do is you basically start playing a song, you hit a button, it does a tempo search in your library, find something else with matching tempo, then you basically can hit a button and it will slowly put the song out and bring the new song in a very seamless fashion, and that's how you keep the dance floor a hopping.
Wow.
Is what I'm going to say. Oh, yeah. I know this because I actually was looking at an application on, surprise, Linux, called MIXXX, which is a DJ mixing software that when I was in Columbus, Ohio 2 years ago, and one of the, what are they called, nerdcore rappers, Dualcore was there. They were using MIXXX as their live music rig. And I did like go up behind the DJ a little bit and stand like, you know, a good 5-10 feet behind them and was looking at it. And I said, that's MIXXX. And when he was done, I just said, you're running MIXXX, weren't you? And of course, in typical DJ fashion, hells yeah, that stuff's dope. You know. But there was an email I sent you earlier, Mark, that technically we could integrate into this conversation. Apparently, Crossover Office, I'm going to backfill this in a second. Crossover Office is releasing a product for Android. Crossover Office is the corporate entity behind the Wine Project on Linux. The Wine Project on Linux lets you run Windows executables natively inside of Linux. So what they're doing is they're releasing a product for Android that will let you run Windows executables in Android. Now, you're not going to be able to do anything high-end, but this opens the door to A, massive infections on your Android device, but they're all going to be contained in the Wine directory. But it also is going to start to enable smaller applications in Windows to be able to run on more Android big screen devices. So this has the possibility, I'll say, to shake it up in DJ terms, I guess.
I wonder if it would allow people to migrate from old PCs that got sitting around to some new hardware.
Well, technically with the Remix Mini or some other device like that that you can plug up right to a monitor, keyboard, mouse, I'll say yes, but it matters what they want to run. And if they even begin to say the most cursed words in IT history, iTunes, just choke them out right there.
No, I was thinking more like some legacy CNC machining or some kind of a factory, you know, program they got running on like Windows 90.
There's a video at the lilyputing.com article that Doer sent me that shows running Steam on a Chromebook, which is kind of mind-blowing, really mind-blowing. Just looks like a cheap, you know, $250 one. And he's running Steam and playing games. I don't even know what to say about that.
Could be cool. Could be a big dud.
Right.
It's just got to work well, you know. If you can run, you know, Steam is one thing, but Steam is already available on a ton of platforms. What would be interesting is if you could use really, you know, real productivity stuff on it. So many things are made for Windows, you know, by Windows. And those of us not on Windows get left out. But if I could take, I don't even need Microsoft Office. I'm just talking about, you know, I can't even think of anything off the top of Exchange. It would be great if I had a good solid Exchange client, for example, on Android.
Well, I mean, I could see with Wine or Crossover Office, that's right now, with Crossover Office, you could run true desktop Windows Office in that. Maybe not 2016, right. Probably 2013. And it would probably run just fine, in air quotes. I'm sure it's very limited. The one thing with Wine on Linux is there's certain ports, certain hardware, I/O, it just cannot interface in. So when Eric's talking about CNC machines, right, kind of things, that's the hardest thing to do with Wine, to interface with unique hardware. I could see, you're never going to get Visual Studio, period. That's never going to work on one of these kind of devices ever, because there's too much lock-in back to the OS. But Crossover Office has made it a point to try to get certain key Microsoft products running perfect in Crossover, like Office, like Project, like Visio, those kind of things. So there is a certain business thing that you should be able to run just fine in Crossover.
Good find, Dor. You know, this all starts tomorrow, it looks like, for the developer previews.
Fun stuff. Let's see. Where was that? Was that an email? No. Yeah, that was an email. So that means it's back to you, Dor.
Okay. I am. Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring this one here as soon as I figure out where the chat window is. There it is. This is a app that I've literally been like waiting to be available on other services, because this was a NVIDIA Shield only app for the longest time. If you guys remember back in the day, the one app I would always suggest to play with a controller or on stuff like the Game Stick even, and it would run really good, was a game called Riptide. Well, and yes, Mark, whenever I said Riptide, the first thing that came to mind was the 80s TV show with the two detectives who lived on a boat.
And the nerd. Yes.
Yes. But this is called Riptide GP Renegades. And it was only available for the Shield. This was not optimized for low-end hardware like their other app. They went the total opposite direction. And the jet skis themselves are insanely tweaked up. They're literally almost like Star Wars, the crappy racer with the kids. Pod racers. But you're just sitting on top of one of those jet pods kind of thing. $2.99 to buy, no in-app purchases, E for everyone, by Vector Unit, who has been a top developer for a while. Because it was only on the NVIDIA Shield, only 167 reviews, 4.5 reviews. They are pretty popular, though. Almost 5,000 installs, it looks like. And I can tell you right now, if you enjoy high, fast-paced high-end graphics, competitive gameplay. This is pretty dang competitive, and don't expect to run this on your Samsung Galaxy S4.
Really? How about
This thing requires juice.
So an Amazon Fire Stick's not going to run that.
I would be highly suspect that it would, but the good news is you can return it if it doesn't.
I'm going to look. You know, I'm going to buy it. Have you played it yet?
I did play this one literally for seconds today.
I'm going to buy it just because the Riptide series is always, it's a great racing game. You know what I mean? Even though, I don't know, there's something about Riptide games I like, and I have never seen this one. So, and I remember.
Right, and
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and there's no video for it in the Play Store.
That makes it that much better. Is this why you asked me if I was using my tablet and Fire Stick remote controller?
This was one of the reasons. The other reason is, quick diversion, if you just Google search Kickstarter Ultra Slim Laptop Remix, you'll come across something that I put my money into maybe 2 months ago. For $80 or for $90, you could get a laptop running Remix OS, a laptop running Remix OS for less than $100. So I did that. I'm supposed to be getting it here in less than 3 weeks, I believe. So I was thinking about taking my Jide Remix Ultra and turning it into basically a game station and using a Bluetooth controller with it because it's a bigger screen. So I was just toying around with the idea.
I got to say, I mean, I use it mostly with the Fire Stick, but as far as a Bluetooth controller, I would give it 2 thumbs up. It works pretty good. The buttons are a little noisy, I would say. If I've got one complaint, it's that.
Gotcha. But yeah, if you're a fan of any jet ski game ever, whether it be Wave Racer, I believe, which was an N64 game, or Riptide, been on Android for every bit of 5 years, I highly encourage you to at least look at this game. And if you want to, just go to YouTube, search Riptide GP, and you'll see the video footage of it. It is a really good-looking game.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds great. So, Eric, I will read another email before we go, but for now, why don't you go ahead and empty your tank? Okay, give us what you got.
I've got actually another Google product. I'm just a Google whore tonight. So this is the this is called, and I had never heard of this, and I couldn't honestly try it myself because it's not available in my area. This is called Google Hands Free, and it's a shopping app. And when you have this installed, now instead of tapping your phone on the register when you pay for something, all you do is you just say to your checkout person, you say, "Oh, I'll pay with Google." So then your identity is confirmed on a screen. There's a picture of you to make sure you are you, and the purchases are sent to your phone, and you walk out. You don't take the phone out of your pocket. Once you sign up, and you know you live in an area where they have these screens installed.
So there has to be dedicated special hardware at the establishment.
I would imagine this is some kind of new hardware that everybody's going to have to get eventually for some reason, and it is places, not Rock Falls, Illinois, unfortunately.
So it looks like wireless technology. It looks like it can't be NFC because it's being too far away. So what I'm going to just guess and say, this is going to require something like Square Trade. I believe it's called Square or PayPal here or something like that. Because in the video, which of course isn't a video, it's animation, it looks like the person is using basically a tablet computer as their cash register.
But one of the places it says it's McDonald's. And, you know, McDonald's, they already have a full screen in front of them.
Yeah.
So they could just, you know, have one interface for payment.
Too. I know, but then couldn't the guy just sit there and have a little recorder and recording your voice saying, "I'll pay with Google"? Well, no, your device has to be there.
Your device
too.
Is in your pocket. Yeah. So, you know, maybe they're on the same Wi-Fi. Maybe there is an NFC thing. Yeah, so
that's what I'm wondering. How is it? Is it geolocation? Maybe because it's too far away in the little animation to be NFC.
It could be Bluetooth.
You can't Bluetooth.
You have to disconnect the Bluetooth from your car or something.
Yeah, that can't be it. So it's got to be GPS that knows that you're at McDonald's. And when you're at McDonald's, you can preload your information.
Can't be GPS either because in the video, the phone is in her pocketbook. You ain't getting no GPS signal with your phone in your pocketbook.
So some of the reviews say that...
Well, you had it when you went in the parking lot.
Some of the reviews say that it's horrible on your battery life right now.
So it's got to just be actively pinging, yes. You know, through something.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know how it works.
I don't like this. To me, this is almost like idiocracy. I mean, this is just letting people be too stupid. I don't know. I just don't like this one.
Hey, I'm just glad we didn't have to put the chips in our hands. You know what I mean? I really didn't want to have that microsurgery to get that implanted. So anything,
the barcode tattooed
that
on
we
your
can
arm?
Do. Well, yeah, that's the idiocracy. That may still come. But I just didn't want to have. I didn't want to have a chip, an NFC chip implanted in my hand. So I'm good.
Foolish Brantley in the chat room says that Google says you have to enable Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and location services. So it must be a, you know, you don't have to connect, but it senses the devices in the area.
That makes sense. It could be on the same Wi-Fi, and then the Bluetooth is pinged. So you're close.
Well, and you seem it already worked at McDonald's. Okay, now if you're on a Nexus device and you have your Wi-Fi turned on, I believe any McDonald's you go to, you will then have what's called a trusted connection, I believe.
A little key in the top of your phone.
Yeah, so it literally wouldn't shock me if Google has an arrangement basically with all McDonald's, and then using that technology, that device, that infrastructure that's already there, they're able to do this. And what I don't like is the exact same thing about Android Auto. If you plug up your phone with Android Auto, there's a physical connection to your car, but for some damn reason, it turns Bluetooth on your device and also makes a Bluetooth connection from your phone to the car. It's like it needs, for some reason, both channels for something. I don't know. And it's really confusing.
Well, I'm in. When it comes here, I'm in. I'll do it. I'd like to pay with Google.
I'm sure in my neighborhood. What? Around here, you pay with money.
I love it when I can just walk up and drop my phone on the pad at McDonald's or CVS or one of that technology, I think, is just right. It's still an action, but I still have to pull my phone out of my pocket. But it, you know, it makes me feel like I'm doing something, like I have consented to something. I would worry about the fact that there's no consent here, no indication of consent in any way. No proof that you actually made this purchase. I could be walking past a kiosk at the mall and get charged for $800 microfiber sheets.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. In the chat room, Brantley says that he has an NFC chip in his hand along with Johnny. Like, all right.
Yeah, they both got it for free at a conference. To which I said, "What could go wrong?"
Oh yeah, no, it's fine. people go to Walgreens and get a flu shot. You know, who knows what could go wrong? All right, that was my app though. Couple Google.
That's all you got. That's your end.
Couple Google apps. All right. A couple VR apps this week.
All right, I want to read one little email. It's a quick one from Mitch B. in New Jersey, and he has some feedback on the Zenfone 2 that we've mentioned a few times on the show. He says, "Please, first of all, know that the Zenfone 2 is no longer for sale, replaced by the Zenfone 3. Background, had a Samsung Galaxy S2 that wouldn't die with an AT&T grandfathered unlimited plan. The Zenfone 2, bought in July 2015, was replaced by the Asus 3 times and by SquareTrade once, 4 returns. And the only good thing I can say about it is that the tethering plan check was not in the build. Support was good by Asus, the phone wasn't." So there you go. Don't go buy a used Zenfone 2.
That's horrific, and I can tell you, I'm very thankful that's not my experience so far. I've been using this now for, I want to say, 2 weeks every day, and I've had literally zero software issues with it, and from what I can tell, zero hardware issues with it. It's just working, and it's just working decent. Now, I have the Intel processor one, but they also had Zenfone 2s with Snapdragons in them. Now, for some unknown reason, the Zenfone 3 that is out, you can only get it in Snapdragon processors. Now, Snapdragon processors are in 3 numbered codes. The first number being the primary version number. We're in the 8-something series. The Zenfone 3 with the Snapdragon is running a 660 chipset. That is a old processor in what is supposed to be a brand new phone. So even though I'm really liking this phone and I'm enjoying it, there's no way in hell I would get a Zenfone 3.
All right. So, Dor, while you're at it, go ahead and empty your tank for
us. Okay. The first thing I wanted to bring, just because I'm a fan of this style of game, it's called Space Warrior: The Origin. And this was a one-handed shooter game. So this is the kind of game you could very easily play in a checkout line or something. Completely free. There is some kind of in-app purchases, and I do believe there was full screen ads between stages where you just click the X and you're done. There is a video for the game, unfortunately. It is by Nikki, N-E-K-K-I. 161 reviews, 4.0 reviews, version 102, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. This game was just mindless fun, is what I'm going to say. It's a portrait game, number one, not a landscape game. So you hold your phone straight up, and you basically just drag your finger around the screen. Your ship nonstop shoots. It was very reminiscent, to be honest, of Asian arcade games I've seen where you have to fly around and shoot, because stuff, when you start to get into the game, comes at you from all angles. Like, at some points in stages, crazy amounts of stuff from crazy amounts of angles. But the real reason I'm bringing it is just because I thought the graphics were so good looking.
Would it be fair to say it's Galaga-like?
It's very Galaga-like. Yes and no, because you can move up and down the screen. You can move all the way up the screen if you want. There are bosses who are real bosses that come out in this game. There is no bosses in Galaga. There's cannon upgrades, shield upgrades, all different things like that. So it's, let's say, it's a descendant of Galaga. You know, you can see the McGregor in them, but there's something else there. You know, something like that.
One of the reviews says waste of time. Well, isn't that sort of built into the definition of downloading a game like this?
Yes, I'm with you on that one.
Absolutely. Okay, this next game I'm going to bring, this is one of the games, this is one of the style of games that I have a super ridiculously difficult time of actually explaining, and that's because, like we talked about Bart Bonte last week, and how his games require no introductions. You just tap, go, and bang, you're off, you're playing the game. This game called Ultimate Ninja Blazing, which might have one of the best names ever, I'm just saying, by Bandai Namco Entertainment. Mark knows that company name. They're a top...
Indeed.
Right, they're a top developer, 8,800 reviews, 4.6 average review, 10,000, 50,000 installs, version 109, so again, very new. The in-app purchases are for stupid things like gems or coins. No video for this game, so I thought, hey, let's give it a go. This game, the first half hour of the game is a tutorial, okay? There is insane amounts of upgrades and improvements and team configurations and attacks and combo attacks and special attacks and special combo attacks and on and on and on. It's a turn-based RPG strategy game. There's so much going on in this game, but none of the action is actual real time. You're not swinging each punch. You're clicking and dragging and saying attack kind of thing. But the battles, when you get to the battles, it was really good looking. There was some fun to be had, but it literally was 20 plus minutes of just tutorial just to get the game started.
That's where I would say waste of time, but it's just a game.
I don't have that kind of investment to make.
Great name.
Yeah. The best way I'll put it is it's not a game designed for us.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure it's a game designed for Americans. Okay. And I say that even though if I was 13, 14 years old, something tells me I would play the crap out of this game because I would have to figure it out. I'd have to see how far I could take it. But, you know, it was by Bandai Namco, so I had to bring it, right? I mean, so I keep saying to myself.
At least it doesn't cost anything.
That's a plus. I'm going to bring a non-game app now. I'm going to bring specifically to see if I can get a reaction out of Eric.
Okay.
This is called Navbar Apps, and you don't need root, and this is the one thing I want to emphasize for this app. There is no root needed for this app whatsoever. If you have software navigation row on your phone. Down on your phone, you have the back button, you have the home button, and you have the recent app button. You can do at least some level of customizations to your screen to change it up. And some of their examples I thought were pretty interesting. They have, I want to say it's called Namcat. It's the cat with the Pop-Tart-like body pooping rainbows out behind it. Sure, why not? They have pieces of watermelon surrounding each button. Sure, why not? And if you keep going, they have the poop emoji all throughout. American flag, Mario stage, or Mario as my kids insist it's called. I don't care. Camouflage, rainbow. There's a whole bunch of different things you can do. And I do believe there was a way you could completely customize it. I don't have a software home row, so I cannot test this at all on my device.
I have a software home row. And I tell you what, I would like this just to be, I don't know if randomize is a an option, but I think that would be the best. Just every hour, give me a different nav bar. I'm installing it. And I'll probably put that request in if they don't have it already. Yes, door. Well done. See, I've always missed out because I always had the Samsungs with the hard button. Now I've got the all software.
Right. And in the description, not in a review, in the description,
yeah.
Not in a review, it says, cause I'm back. Yes, I'm back. Well, I'm back. Yes, I'm back. Well, I'm back. Back. Well, I'm back in black. Yes, I'm back in black. Which I'm pretty sure is the AC/DC reference, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Do you need a why for AC/DC?
If I argue, it's not going to be smart of me, so I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to say yes.
AC/DC is like politics and religion. You're just not going to convince other people, even though I'm right with you.
Just and Foolish Brantley in the chat room. I'm sorry, that is not chocolate ice cream. That is undoubtedly
It was
poop.
Supposed to be when it was first created. It was supposed to be chocolate ice cream or chocolate yogurt, but the masses looked at it and said, that's poop. So, that's poop. You know, it was supposed to be, but I think the guy doing the artwork for it originally literally said, ice cream, make it look like poop. Okay, and I'm going to bring one more here just because this is one of those games that just, it nearly dragged me in, completely free to download. It's called It's a Space Thing. Very high-paced, very fast action, very retro-looking. By Brad something, Herculea something. 154 reviews, E for everyone, 4.7 average reviews, 5,000 and 10,000 install. Current version 1.01. Damn thing just came out. I'm saying it again. Just came out. This was a portrait game as well, which I really am becoming more of a fan of portrait games. Just and I really don't know why. But very simple controls. Left, right, shoot was basically all the controls I ever got. And you got to basically not die. Limited number of shots. And your goal is to kill something on the other side of the screen. I just thought this was a very good mix of entertainment and performance. You know what I mean?
It kind of reminded me of Tank at first, but then there is bosses, so it's not the same.
It's kind of Space Invaders-y, in that there's, you know, a barrier between you and the bad guy at the top of the screen, and the graphics look like Space Invaders.
Yeah, the only difference between this and Space Invaders is you can shoot through the barrier in front of you, but the people cannot shoot through the barrier. It's like a one-way. It's like Yar's Revenge, maybe, or something. But
right, but in some of the pictures that they show, the thing at the top has a barrier that you can't shoot through, and it can't.
Right, so, and your barrier can be destroyed. There's that. Yeah, to me, this was just stupid fun.
All right, I think, let's see. We've got a couple of more emails. I don't want to blow the whole load all in one show, so we'll hang on to those. I think this is a good opportunity to wrap the show. We've been going nearly an hour and a half now. You got your money's worth for this show, people. So I will just say, Eric, do you have any final words of wisdom for our audience?
I can't remember what they were. But I would like to say, hey, Scott, congratulations on the new cardboard. And he's actually already reached out back to us and sent us his address. So that will be coming to him shortly.
Great. Dor, how about you? You want to plug anything, flog anything, get a, give anybody some marching orders, pseudo anything?
I don't want to pseudo people because, you know, that requires physical access. I don't know why I said that. I will just remind people, if you really want to support us, there's no easier way. Patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, and that's Patreon. The only reason I'm saying it is because we have not had a new Patreon person for probably over a month. It's the easiest, most seamless way to support the network. I do not want to stop this show three times an episode to basically blurt out advertisements. I'm listening to podcasts, and I'm hearing people drone on for 5-10 minutes about how you should support us on Patreon and how we love you guys supporting us on Patreon, and then three times during the show, they break for ads. Pick one or the other, people. You're scummy when you do it both, and I don't want to do it both. I want to do it only Patreon, and I can only do it with your guys' support. It would be greatly appreciated, and you'll have direct control over us. I'm going to say that. And, like, for instance, I'm going to ask our Patreon people, I want to do a poll. What questions should I ask people? And, again, Eric and Mark, you guys have all the input you want. What questions should I ask people? Because I'm feeling like we haven't done a poll in a while, so I want to do that. I think it's a good thing.
All right, patreon.com. You could also... support the show by doing your purchasing at podnuts.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing. Make a bookmark. Make that your Amazon bookmark of choice. And, you know, we get a little kickback there, referral fee, and that helps more than you realize. Especially, you know, a lot of people listen to this and other Podnuts shows that buy lots of things on a regular basis. Those of you who are computer shop owners, for example. So that helps a lot. But, you know, also... if you're going to buy your next car, be sure to buy that through Amazon. So that would be great. If you want to hear more of my ramblings, you can find me at elementop.com. I do a show there weekly called The Geek Rant. And it's, as I like to say, it's the only show on the internet where geeks rant. We've cornered the market on that. Nobody else does that. Nobody else on the internet ever rants. So we appreciate it, you hanging out with us. And we'll see you next week. But that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.